B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's fourth and final hour. Felger and Mads here from Banners at the Garden. Again, you ever want to come down, grab a bite, grab a drink before a game? This is about as good of a spot as you will find. Next level, I think. Banners Kitchen and Tap.
Banners Kitchen.
The only thing I don't like about it is the name, like the Kitchen and Tap thing.
Banners.
Just
call it Banners.
Like the, you know who I blame?
The millennials.
Millennials. They need some sort of frou.
It's gotta be trendy.
Yeah, they got some sort of trendy, you know, bistro and tap and kitchen and tap and the craft beer and all that. That's a millennial bullcrap thing.
Banners on Causeway.
Banners.
Banners on the square.
Why do you got to? Yeah, exactly. Banners on the square.
Banners on the depot.
Oh, my God. That's totally what it is. You want to frou it up because of the freaking millennials.
Yeah, Banners.
The kitchen and tap.
No, I like the guy that's just, meet me at Banners.
Seriously.
I'm sure that there's some science behind it. I've watched a lot of Bar Rescue. I'm sure that that show would approve.
Science.
So we're talking about, and our phone's down. We got nothing?
Yeah, you got nothing. We're trying to fix it back here.
Okay. So do you think people accept that this is the beginning of the end for Brady or not?
No.
I'd say I'd put that one somewhere in the middle. I mean, I would say more people than not actually see this as likely approaching the end. Okay? Likely. You know, because nobody knows for sure. I think there is a smaller percentage, though, meaning less than 50%, that says, you know, this is just media-driven. This is the same old bullcrap that Felger and Mads have been drumming up for 5 years. And again, they're right to say that. So, because the drafting of Garoppolo was a bill effectively putting everyone on notice, whether anyone wants to admit that or not. And Brady reversed the trend and kept his job, and not only that, excelled. But I think there are still those people who, because of that, say, yeah, he beat off Garoppolo, and now he'll do it again.
I'm sorry, he what?
He wow.
You know, he warded off Garoppolo, and he'll do that again.
Seems like you're projecting there a little bit. Okay.
You know, so fend it off. How about that?
Yeah, better.
He fended off Garoppolo, and he'll do it again. So, like, I think there's a segment of the fan base that believes, nope, Brady's going to go when he wants. He'll walk out with a Super Bowl title. He always wins. He can play till he's 50. And I'm giving you hyperbole
there.
No,
I think some people feel this way.
But I think a lot of fans feel like, you know, the guy can go for as long as he wants. He's borderline superhuman. Hell, and you know what? Given that he's lasted this long, you could argue that they're right. I mean, he has been borderline superhuman.
Yeah, it's defied logic. And because he has said the wants to play to 45, I mean, people have that to lean on. No, he's going to play to 45. He's not done yet. What are you people talking about?
Do you think it's possible he said that just because he doesn't, I mentioned this earlier, that he doesn't want the retirement tour. He didn't want it to distract the team, distract him. And so he keeps up that facade just so he doesn't have to go through the retirement talk.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure. But, you know, the people close to him also have, and maybe they're in on it. But they've also indicated that his dad said a couple of weeks ago he still wants to play.
It's true.
So, you know, now again, is that just lip service because they're playing the political public game with the Patriots and they don't want to accept any of the responsibility if Tom is not playing here next year? Maybe. Yeah, it might be that. I mean, again, it's hard to know exactly what they're saying and plotting, if you want to use that term, behind closed doors. But there's no question that, you know, we've reached a stage here where decisions have to be made.
So whether he wanted it or not, apparently, you know, it, we'll find out. But I do believe he's retiring. So I do believe the talk about playing to 45 and all of that is really just sort of a front so he doesn't get presented with gifts every week and have to go through the nonsense of asking retirement questions every week. And he didn't want to distract the team or himself with that. You know, which does get laborious, these retirement.
Absolutely.
Know. So I can totally see that happening. And I think that is what's happening. the bad news is I think it's deprived us a little bit of reveling in the moment of it coming to an end, which is part of the reason I'm doing this here. It's my last show of the year, so I'm just taking the opportunity to do it because when I come back, they could be playing Wild Card Weekend, and that could be it. If they lose Saturday, they're playing Wild Card Weekend, and they're porked. That's it. And that will be it. And it'll be it for the greatest pro athlete in the history of football anyway. Maybe of pro. I mean, he's in that pantheon of Jordan and Russell and like guys like this and Gretzky and Howe and whoever you want to put in that list is. So, I mean, we're not just saying greatest quarterback or greatest NFL player. We're talking like greatest run an athlete has ever had.
Yeah, I mean, again, I put him in, you know, I'm always reluctant to compare guys in different sports. I just think it's too hard. But to put him in the same breath as Jordan, like, yeah.
Of course, that's who he deserves. He deserves.
Yo, honestly, I'm not even sure I put Gretzky in that group.
Yeah, maybe not. I was just pulling names. You know, I'm just.
No, when it comes to championships, it's Brady and Jordan.
And Russell. But yeah. Again, different era. I'm not even sure he qualifies because of how early it was. You know, our lifetime, it's Brady and Jordan. End of story.
Sure.
Fine. I stopped there.
Fine. Fair enough.
Maybe, you know, if you're talking winners, it's different. Maybe Jeter.
Nicholas. You know,
Right.
So, I mean, like, wherever you want to take that conversation is fine. I'm just saying that's who he is. That's
no,
what we're talking
no question.
About. That's what we're talking about here. And instead of spending the year talking about that and the perspective and all of it, we're talking about, again, all the little piddling stuff about why he's saying the way why he's saying that or why he's acting that way or why he and Belichick are taking little subtle things at each other. And so in Brady not wanting to have that be a distraction, we've been robbed of sort of a, I'm getting nostalgic about it, Murray, as you know, in the last couple of days. And so, like, I just think that's the trade-off.
Sounds to me like you're going to have a little circle session.
Are we going to have a goodbye? Are we going to have a proper goodbye?
No, I don't think
so. Yeah, I don't think so either. It rarely, if ever, happens with any of these greats. You get your T-cells checked. Low T. Felger over there. Getting all sentimental around the holidays. You're crying at Hallmark commercials.
So, like, and, you know, there will be a segment of the fan base, I think, that will, what's the right word, regret that when it's over or be upset at the fact that it didn't happen. I would also tell you, first of all, I'm not sure Brady totally wants it. Like, I wonder, you know.
No, he doesn't. This is my whole thing. I don't think he does want it.
I mean, and you know what? If you think about it.
Because he'd be faced with the reality of it being the end, too. Maybe he's putting it off in his mind. That's why he hasn't said anything.
The other thing is, in the press conferences, right, and I'm going by the podium Brady, not the field Brady. But that thing, you know, that sort of celebration and appreciation is a dog and pony show oftentimes. And Brady at those press conferences, to me, gives you nothing. Like, he shows you virtually no emotion. It's rare. This year has been an exception. But he typically doesn't engage in that part of it. He just gives you the sterile stuff. Now, on the field, he'll pour his heart into it. And I think he has shown that. And to, you know, to sort of soak up the spotlight and everything at the end, I think in a lot of ways doesn't fit with him. It, you know, it's not his personality. It hasn't been his personality to call attention to himself necessarily at the podium. Right?
Yeah, no, I know.
He's pretty vanilla there.
Yes, sir.
But on the field, you want to let it happen? I told you, I think you're going to see it happen anyway. I do. I think you're going to see it happen in the Miami game, or if we already know that they're going to be home in divisional week then, which in all probability we will. You know, fans are not dumb. They'll recognize the moment.
I just hope it's organic and it's something that's genuine, and it's just sort of a that we all sort of understand, like, it's not just a tip of the cap. He's saying goodbye to him. We're saying goodbye to, you know, he's saying goodbye to us. We're saying goodbye to him. Blah blah blah. Like, there's a moment like that. I'm a sucker for that, Murray. I am a sucker. I can't deny it. And I think he's just been that important. So we'll see. We'll see if we get it. This is what we're discussing today. We will take a break. We will come back with your phones, hopefully, at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Bill, Tom Brady's completion percentage is down at 60.1, which is the lowest it's been for his career. He's a guy that, you know, we've talked about how accurate he's been. So I guess sort of surprising number. What's gone into that this year?
Yeah, I think right now, you know, we're really focused on the Buffalo game and, you know, trying to get ready and, you know, play our best in this game. So, you know, going back and analyzing stuff from other games and a year and all that's really not where we're at.
So that was an exchange from today that stood out to Maz, where Belichick is asked about Brady's completion percentage, which ranks 29th in the NFL. It would be his lowest completion percentage ever in his 19-year NFL career. And that was Bill's answer. And why did that response stand out to you, Miss?
Because I think there was an opportunity there for Bill to take some of the blame off of Brady. The question was about Brady. You know, Tom's completion percentage is, right, the lowest of his career. And Bill's answer was, well, I'm focused on Buffalo. I'm not here to talk about the stuff that's happened in past weeks. And instead, he could have said what he often says when he's asked about any aspect of the team. Not always, but often. He could have said, well, look, every play is a team play. I mean, there's a lot involved. You got to block it right. You got to run the right route. You got to read the coverage. You got to do all of it. And so he could have spread the blame across the board right there and said, don't go putting this on one guy. And so now, does that mean he's throwing Brady under the bus? In my mind, no. But what it does mean is this. That in Bill's mind, Brady's part of the issue. Part of it. Now, how much? I don't know. But I think when Bill is driving home after these games, and the Patriots are struggling to throw against the Cincinnati Bengals and missing receivers by 10 yards, that he's saying, Tom's not right. Tom's not right. Now, again, earlier in the week, he was more than happy to tell us that Brady has missed time, that he volunteered, really, information about Brady's health. Yet, when he's asked a specific question about Brady's completion percentage, just totally stays away from it and doesn't come to the player's defense. Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just found that, I think in Bill's mind, Tom's part of the problem. Okay? Part of it.
And so, my point is, this year, his final year, has been spent reading into this little back and forth. That's what the year has been marked by, not remembering and soaking it in and all that. It's been sort of just, why did he say that? What did he mean by that? What did he, you know, and it's been that sort of thing, which is, again, unfortunate in some ways. In others, it's, you know, it's sort of plays into what we do, so it's not the worst thing in the world. Let's read some emails.
Just quickly, yeah, before you go on, what did you expect it to be? Did you think it was going to be flowers and candy?
Yeah, I thought it'd be different. I mean, everything about this has been different.
Okay.
So it's just been different. It's been better. It's been longer. And if any guy was going to finish his entire career with one team and go out the right way, it'd be here. Because everything else has been charmed. And I thought the ending would be charmed like everything else.
You realize how unusual that is coming from you?
Well, no, why?
Because you are the last person that is idealistic.
No, it's really more of a Patriot thing. It's like,
they've bucked the trend with pretty much everything else.
It's just the way everything's gone. The upcoming opponent's best player is going to get hurt. There's a big call. They're probably going to get the benefit of the doubt. The ball's going to bounce their way. Someone in the division is going to hire the wrong coach, draft the wrong quarterback. It's just always going to – it's just – we're in this space where it just falls their way. And it usually ends up right for them. And so I just assume, why wouldn't this?
See, I'm chuckling because I am far more consistently negative. So I sort of operate under the premise that when this ends, it's almost certainly going to end badly. It rarely ends well.
Okay, I think we're getting our phone squared away. You can call it 617-779.
We're not.
617. Should I not get out the number? My thing's flickering, Jimmy. 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, email, Sal writes in, says this team should be 13-1. He says Brady's attitude has really hurt this season. And I contend if he just did his job, this team would be 13-1. A better attitude beats both Kansas City and Houston. His play costs both those games. The guy who has stated for 20 years that all he cares about is winning suddenly was absolutely miserable at 8-0. WTF. Which is true, by the way, which I didn't like either. 8-0 and he's miserable. WTF. Right?
Yeah, they weren't winning at Houston giving up with the way they played defense. They weren't winning that game.
Anyway, follow him. He says, and all the Brady toadies wrote it off to his competitiveness, his miserable attitude. Really? If people don't think his attitude hasn't affected his play, they're smoking Murray's leftovers.
Got a lot of them.
He has missed throws. He has bailed on plays. He's acted disinterested and angry. He's scowled at teammates. Despite his long-term assertions that we're all in this together helping each other, he's done all these things. This is not physical, right, Sal? This is not lack of talent around him.
Oh, please.
Though there's a limited case to be made in both, he says. Finally, just a little, I saw his attitude swing maybe just a bit in that Kansas City game. Finally, he remembered what it was like when the opposing team was your enemy, not your own team. Maybe he's talking about that scramble play where he got up and showed some emotion, right? His team is 11-3 on the way to 13-3 if Brady shows up. It has a historic defense, and Brady can't find any joy in leading a team that should have ended up 15-1. Tisk, tisk.
Again, historic defense. Give me a break with that.
But to me, that's sort of how I felt about it for portions this year anyway.
Did you write that to yourself?
No, I did not. This is from Sal. I can show it to you. It's right there.
I like the term Murray's Leftovers. That's good. That should be like the name of Murray's podcast or a dispensary.
I think you found one of those in your coat that you thought you lost some months ago.
I did.
In the meantime, did you get any reaction on the email or the Twitter sphere on our discussion on millennials and gambling yesterday?
Not anything that you weren't already copied on. Follow me? So you got a version of it if I did.
So just to reset, yesterday we had the president of MGM Springfield in talking about, you know, gambling being legalized in Massachusetts and these online gambling apps where you can place your bets through your phone, and it's coming to Massachusetts. It should be coming to Massachusetts. It's held up in the legislature. Can we get this going? Sort of a push from Mike Mathis of MGM to get that going, and that led to a broader discussion of how come the casinos aren't doing as well as they projected, and Maz blamed the millennials.
Yes.
Because
they're not, you know, dirty enough or ballsy enough or edgy enough. I just don't think, you know, to walk into a casino and sit at a blackjack table and gamble there and take your chances requires a little bit of desperation. You know, a little bit of edge and risk, and I just don't think these millennials are wired that way anymore.
So I definitely would blame the millennials, too. I mean, instead of gambling, they're too busy setting their running back one, running back two, and playing fantasy. And, oh, by the way, they don't know what it's like to go down to the corner store and bet with the bookie or go to the guy at work and bet with the bookie. And they just want to go to their phone.
No, they just want everything given to them. Again, see, they're the kind of people that millennials, in all seriousness, they would bet on a game getting 3.5. The team would lose by 4, and they would say to the bookie, I think you should give it to me.
But the
right? I mean, seriously, that's a millennial.
I will say, though, and I'm no millennial, but the convenience and app thing, like once it's legalized here and I'll be able to place a bet via my phone through MGM or Encore or whatever, I'll do it that way. And I don't blame them. Like, I don't have to, like, talk to anyone face-to-face and have a real conversation. It's one of the great things about the world we live in now. Apps. And being able to get what you want at the click of a button.
It's really not an app thing. I'm telling you, because, again, it spun out of a casino discussion. I'll bet on an app, too, if it's there.
No,
that's fine.
Tech is part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it is for the whole millennial issue.
Tech
right?
is part of the problem. And the fact that they call it tech, which I'll get to in a second. But anyway, that's just to reset some emails here, because I got a bunch of angry emails from angry little millennials on this topic.
I'm so shocked that's how they would communicate.
The millennials who do like to bet were very defensive of their position. For example, Daniel writes in, subject, millennials don't wager. Hey, Felga, I've been a degenerate since I was 16, born in 1994. I'm sitting in my cube right now, banging pick fours on my TVG app. Tonight I'm hitting the Mavericks. Point is, we bet. How'd that Mavericks bet work out for you, pal?
Yeah, not a good move, yeah.
I'm banging pick fours on my TVG app. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, Murray, what's a TVG app?
I believe that's horse racing. That's a, I'm pretty positive that's
horse. You got to check the app
store. Okay, good. So good for that millennial. Next one from Tyler. Subject, you're delusional old men.
Yep, this one I read.
He said, you two have literally no idea what you're talking about. Boston is one of the biggest sports cities in America, and you don't think us young guys are cashing in on it? The Sunday football cards are alive and well, my friends.
This I was happy to read.
He says, I've been doing it since I was 14. And the bookies are alive and thriving, let me tell you. The problem is, all these casinos are in weird locations like Springfield and Everett and not in central locations to attract the masses. Zoe and Beetle do a sports betting segment every Friday, and it's the best segment of the week. Maybe you two clowns should adapt to that. P.S. Love the gambling talk. Need more of it. Signed, Tyler.
So I'll tell you what. This is where the millennial thing comes into play. Because they don't go to anything. Everything comes to them.
Yeah, they just play
Everett's
with their
not
phone.
Centrally located. Oh,
right,
from
exactly.
Boston.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know. I still like sitting at the table at the casino on a, you know, a night where people are into it, and that's fun, man. That is good, clean, dirty fun.
Next one to Nate in Southeast, subject millennial bookies. Hey, Felger, all caps, we have bookies with their own sites. This has been driving me bananas all day, meaning yesterday. Our generation has the tech to allow private bookies, not Bovada or that other junk, to have their own site. It's amazing. Takes 2 seconds. So let me just stop there. As soon as I read, our generation has the tech, I wanted to punch this guy in the throat. And I know I just said it before. It's because I was seeing this email. Anyone who talks like that, we have the tech.
Too big.
I want to take my elbow and drive it into your Adam's apple and have you collapse on the floor in front of me. And I'm not a violent person. But this is what they say, tech. How's the tech? What's the tech like? This tech will change your life. We have the tech. Pop. But pop him right in the Adam's apple. Drop him right in front of me.
You know what tech is to me? One shot and the ball out of bounds. That's what it is.
We have the tech. Kiss my balls with that. Oh, I can't stand that. We have the tech. The tech. We have the tech. Oh, just bite it. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
They have the tech. They don't have the sack.
Oh, my God. We have the tech. Anyway, he says, it's amazing. It takes 2 seconds, and there's no reason to ever use a legal avenue like a casino. My book is local, but has his own offshore site he pays a couple of bucks for monthly. Fair lines, too. He says, I have about 25 friends under 30, and they all bet with bookies. Come on, Felger, says Nathan Southie. And his tech.
Oh, fair lines. He's meaning that he gets fair odds.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the website.
Final email, David says, subject of millennials, oh my God, Felger, enough. How can someone who wears napkins on their legs criticize anyone about being soft?
He's got you there.
You two desk jockeys couldn't lift my work boots if you tried. Nana and Grandpa complaining about the kids again. F off, you Nantucket Nancy. Signed, David. I'm like, okay, there's a millennial that I actually have some respect for.
Yeah, he's got a little edge.
A little hair on his balls.
Yeah.
Not sitting there talking about his tech.
I could pick up his boots, too. Don't kid yourself.
And the napkins on the knees, what do you want? It was chilly. My Chardonnay was chilled. So between the chilled wine, and it was a little brisk that day. So I had to, you don't want to be cold when you're sipping your wine.
In 10-plus years, that was your lowest moment on the show right there, that napkin over your legs. I thought about resigning when I saw
it. It wasn't on the show. It was in my free time. And so this is another thing you millennials do. You run around with your effing phones snapping pictures. Like, just get out, just eat your lunch.
Oh, that everyone's a weirdo with them now.
Oh, yeah, God, I hate that. Don't you hate that?
Get on with your day. Oh, look at Felger. He's got napkins on his leg. Oh, what? Oh, we're going to take a picture and send it to Portnoy. Oh, look at my tech. Like, that's what you millennials do. Like, you just can't sit and have your lunch and have a normal day. You've constantly got to be dinking around with your phone. So thus concludes the email portion of the program. The phones are back, I believe.
Mike, we have good news. We can talk to the people of Boston in what would I call a lightning round next.
Lightning round coming your way after Murray's.
Is that really good news?
After Murray's update, don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Mass on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, we will wrap it up with your phone calls. Frank in the car, lead us off this segment. Hi, Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
He's potted up.
Okay, let's try it again. Gabe in South Carolina, you're up next with Felger and Mass. Gabe, you're up.
Hey, first of all, yeah, blame us millennials for everything, okay? And second, why do you got to mislead everybody and say that it's Tom Brady's last year? You're legit saying last year. No, it's his last year of his contract, maybe. It is, but come on.
So I think it's his last year. No one knows, Gabe. We're just going off of what we think. Everyone's guessing. No one knows. So I think it's his last year.
Potentially Brady's last
year. I'm treating it as such. There's a, you know, and whether you think it is or not, you have to allow for the fact that it's a possibility. It's more of a possibility this year than it's ever been.
Yeah. Basing it on performance, attitude, how he's carried himself the whole season.
Age, contract, house for sale, trainer's house for sale, severed ties with his local charity, just go down the list. There's a million
we
signs.
All know Tom's age and contract situation.
Well, that was different. As it was 4 or 5 years ago.
No, now it can really apply.
I mean, just in the last 6 months, contract ran out, put a clause in there that said they can't franchise him. House went on the market. Best friend and trainer's house went on the market. Severed ties with a local charity. Father came out just a couple weeks ago and said if the Patriots don't want him, I'm sure there's another team that would, and Joe Montana finished his career somewhere else. I mean, how many more? Like, this is not making it up. I mean, this is... We all know what's at play here. There's a chance he comes back here, of course. That's a possibility. But so is the other thing. And we're discussing the other thing.
I'll tell you, when you look at it, I can't believe his father went on the record.
Right, isn't that crazy?
Like, really? That is, given the way that Brady has handled this thing, for his father to come out and say that with basically a month left in the season, unbelievable.
Jimmy, do me a favor. Give me line two, please. Clem is in Chelmsford. He's up next with Felger and Mass. We're at Banners. Clem is in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Clem.
How you doing, boys? So as we all know, Brady and Belichick are playing backgammon whilst everyone else is playing chutes and ladders. So I'd like to remind everyone that it's gamesmanship. This injury, this Brady injury, it's a rope-a-dope. It's a limping Willis Reed, an elaborate ruse to lure upcoming playoff secondaries into a seemingly false sense of security.
Clem, so he's purposely missing receivers?
No, I mean, I'm telling you, what he's doing right now is he's making everyone think, look, I'm old, I can't make the throws anymore.
No, so Clem, he's purposely missing throws to lower his completion percentage and lull teams, rope-a-dope.
Absolutely, that's what I think.
Okay,
I honestly do, because we all know in these big games, it comes down to one big play. Gronk down the scene, down the sideline, something like that.
He's gone.
The secondary just takes a half step
In,
you know, and then next thing you know.
Clem.
Yes?
I got you, babe. Thank you for the call. Have a Merry Christmas. Murray, your thoughts?
I mean it with all respect, and it's the holidays, but those calls make me want to die. Those calls and those emails, they really, I just feel like my soul leaving my body. Like, I have such higher expectations for people. I know I come off as negative when I talk about the human race, but it's calls like that that the reason that I go back to that. I'd like to think better of humans. I really would. People have really convinced them. I'm sorry, Miz, but the
no, no, go, go. This is good.
That this is one big ruse, the rope-a-dope, to use Clem's term. Like, oh, no, they're losing games on purpose. Ah, no, Brady's not really hurt. Oh, the ice wrap he came out with at the press conference a couple of weeks ago. Ah, that's the old, gut your nose. You know, like, oh, I'm just playing around. Like, what's wrong with you people? Jesus.
Well, he might be, like, the rap you could fake, but I don't think he's purposely airmailing receivers when he could have touchdowns. I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's because you're stupid.
He purposely drilled the ball at Sony Michel's knee because he wanted to fool playoff opponents into thinking that his elbows hurt.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start using this defense every time I say something stupid like the Jets are going to make the playoffs. Someone is imagining it. I did it on purpose. Yeah. It was a ruse.
It was a rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
Kevin and Hyannis on the millennial gambling issue. Yes, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Big fan. First-time caller. Just a quick thing. Did it ever occur to you guys that maybe we're all broke and that we're up to our eyeballs in student loan debt and that going to a bar and spending $13 on an IPA is bad enough that we don't want to go to another facility and literally throw our money away? That's all. Thanks.
No, no. You think you're broke.
Right.
You think you're broke. Oh, but yet, you're so broke, you could talk about your $13 IPAs. I want to drill that guy in the neck.
Exactly.
The same way the guy tells you about his tech. How's your tech? Yeah, that car commercial that plays over. This is the most exciting tech that you own. I want to go up to that guy and with the back of my elbow, drill him in the neck and drop him in a heap in front of me. And I'm not a violent person. And I would say the same thing about the guy who talks to me about his IPA. Oh, go F yourself. You mean your beer? Your IPA? Kiss my tuchus. Seriously.
So look, I was broke in my young adult life too, and we still
played the cards.
Oh yeah, no, I was.
At least the beer gives you something back. $13 IPA is going to get you hammered. You can just lose and get nothing in return. By
I played the football card and I bought it off the guy who ran the canteen truck.
Your $13 IPA, F out of here, Steve in Fort Lauderdale. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, two things. First, true fact, Brady's were spotted in the most prestigious neighborhood in Naples looking at a home. So
when?
This one for you.
When?
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. In and
Naples?
Out.
Naples? Opposite coast?
Florida, 100 miles away from the stadium. Across Alligator Alley.
I know it. I don't love him in Naples. Naples ain't big enough for him and G. I don't think
sure
that works.
Sure it is.
Yeah, it's
a airport
though.
Right there. Hop and jump down to Costa Rica. How many hits and sacks has he taken this year as compared to last year? I really don't know. Has anyone looked at that?
Yeah, it's not bad, Steve. It's not bad. You know, he's taken some shots. He's had games where he's been pressured for sure. But when you look at it, the amount that he's been hit, it's not abnormal. And he's not even ranked high in the league in terms of pressures and hits, if you can believe it. I think his line has sucked. But he's bailed out a lot of those before he's even gotten a chance.
So the last two games, I know the pressure's been higher. The Kansas City game was very high. And Spagnuolo got to him. You know, they were able to really confuse the Patriots. But again, I don't think it's been bad up until the last couple of weeks.
Naples. The thing is, you can't have kids in Miami. I mean, you can, but it's a crappy place for kids. Naples, a little better, but they're still not.
He's not sending his kid to public school.
No, I know that. But there's not even good private school. There's not, like...
Nothing?
I mean, very sparse.
Oh, if you get the money, you can find it.
It's not, but it's not like here in New York, where you've got the cream of the crop and the tops of the tops. It's still freaking Florida. It's a banana republic.
I still feel like he'd be on the other coast. If I were him, why would I want to be 100 miles?
I don't see him in Naples. Sorry. Mike in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, guys. Tony, earlier you referenced that maybe at the 11th hour, the Crafts would come in with a contract for Tom. You know, would this contract kind of stipulate that, Tom, instead of throwing your daughter out the waterfalls in Costa Rica, you might be here for OTAs and work relationship with the young kids? Maybe a tight end they're going to bring in.
That's what I would want, Mike. If we're going to go forward and re-up you and, you know, we need you to work with your young teammates more than you do. Have to. We're not developing these guys. And so you've got to commit to that. That absolutely would be on the table for me. And I don't know if you're going to require it because it's not, you know, that would have to be a side sort of handshake. And I trust you, you trust me, because in the CBA, you can't stipulate something that's outside the CBA. The CBA says that those passing camps are not mandatory.
So if you're
so,
him.
So you can't require him to be there.
Okay, so why would he commit to that if they don't commit to him?
Right. They wouldn't. But it would have to come with that, is what I'm saying.
I mean, really, again, like when you really look at it, you say you can see how this whole tit for tat thing has gone. He wanted the extension 2 years ago after they got rid of Garoppolo. They didn't give it to him. Then he started skipping OTAs. That's all a coincidence?
For this to continue here, it has to change. The team has to up their commitment to him.
It's not gonna.
And he has to re-up his commitment to them.
It's not gonna. That's not gonna change.
And if it doesn't, then why would we just go back and do this for him to be miserable again?
Okay,
with
so
hating his teammates and not developing young players around him, and it's like that's a waste.
So this is why, and I didn't make this connection earlier, but this now makes sense to me why Gasper and Perillo said it's more likely that he plays for another team than it is that he comes back to the Patriots, because the circumstances here are not going to change.
Yeah. Mary in Marshfield. Hi, Mary.
Hey, guys. I have a couple things. Brady's sideline behavior and his podium behavior. The fact that he's on the sideline and he goes over to his little spot and only Jules is allowed to sit next to him and he puts the coat on. This is a guy that screamed like a girl when someone made a great play during the Super Bowl. His emotions are just out of it. He's like holding it all in and he's not allowing himself to even bridge that gap and make those relationships. That's what makes me think this is his last year here, and it's podium behavior. I think he's holding the questions to a limit because I don't think he trusts himself not to get emotional. If he knows he's not coming back and he gets asked the wrong question, it just might pour out, and I think he's not going to allow himself to do that.
Okay, Mary, kind of. I think the podium stuff is, and not today, I mean, I think
he's frustrated with the elbow and the injuries he's dealing with, and that's why he only got a couple of minutes.
Frustrated with everything.
Yeah, so, and he doesn't want to express it. So, yeah. As you know, he doesn't want to verbalize his unhappiness. He doesn't want to bash the team. He doesn't want to bash his teammates. He doesn't want to bash Bill. He doesn't want to articulate how he really feels because he's not that kind of guy. He's not a negative guy. So if I'm not good, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So
great.
I'm out, and that's it. That's why the balance of, I think, his podium behavior is that.
No question. And look, again, in a lot of ways, that makes him, you know, a tactful professional. So, and it's hard to argue he's been anything but. This year has been a little different, though. I mean, I don't blame him for being frustrated. I know Tom Cameron wrote something to this effect earlier in the season. I also don't blame the team for taking the approach that they're taking. The only thing with that whole, you know, can it be an amicable split? Publicly, it can be a, you know, business-like split. But don't tell me that Brady doesn't harbor some resentment toward the team because they wouldn't give him what he wanted.
Oh, yeah. I think that's obvious. Dennis in Worcester. Hi, Dennis.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Millennial gambler here. Gambled a long time. You know, the thing that I am amazed at is the fact that you guys think we don't gamble. I mean, I play poker in sketchy places with people who don't belong there. I've done every thing for as long as I can remember. And here's the thing. Nobody wants to go to the casinos or the gambling stuff anymore because it's all built for old people. All it is free food and high expensive drinks and whatever it is you want. They cater to old people who have the money. They don't give a shit about younger people.
Yeah, so you can't say that word. But how would they cater to young people? Have more tech?
Well, they have nightclubs.
More IPAs.
Right? I mean, there's plenty to do. And correct me if I'm wrong, when you're sitting at the table, I mean, I shouldn't say correct me if I'm wrong, because the drinks are free.
Yeah, that is right.
No, a millennial would rather pay $18 for his IPA and then get on his tech.
No, and then complain about it.
Because
the server brings it over.
Because he has no money.
You should give it to me. It's true. They want the raise. They want everything. They don't want to work for anything. It's unbelievable. God, I sound like my father.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? Oh, it's so good. It's so. I love bashing millennials.
I told you. I bet the underdog. I got 3.5. Yeah, but they lost by 4. You should give it to me. That's a millennial gambler right there, Murray.
Yeah, thank you,
that is.
Painting too broad a brush.
Right. Final word comes your way.
Close enough.
Comes your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Murray.
Nobody. All right. We have two pieces of sound to choose from today's show. We'll start with Felger making a prediction for 2020.
With Mark Tapes, Stu, they're winning the division next year, no matter who their quarterback is.
I'm not sure they're winning the division this year yet.
Unless Bill, if Bill goes, then I get to rescind that. But as long as Belichick's here, they're winning the division next year.
No, no shot. We're going to have to make a bet when we head into the next summer.
I'll make it right now.
No, Brady's going to win the division next year in Miami.
Guy in Boston has a bet for me. What is it, Guy?
I want to take you up on your bet. You're betting on a coach that five seasons with Cleveland went 36-44. I think that's 8 games under .500. Brady won 245 of 303 wins that Belichick has. I want your money, Felger. I want your cash.
Okay, Guy. Well, you're welcome, man. We'll come up with something. Holy crap, do we sound bad.
Oh, brutal, yeah.
Boy, is it Felger Maz from the dumper?
Yeah. I agree, yeah.
Felger Maz from the freaking bathtub.
Yeah, the hopper.
I can't stand the way that sounded. That's horrible.
I agree. It sounded bad.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah, as much as we do love Banners here, it's a great spot. I just think it's a bit cavernous.
No, maybe that's the problem. This room is so amazing.
We need a tent.
A tremendous space. But that leads us to sound the way that sounded?
Yeah. We need some styrofoam walls.
The freaking Felger Maz from the dumper.
From the echo chamber.
I couldn't stand that.
Well, let's hear from Maz calling Bill Belichick a Greek god.
I knew this was coming.
You know, he's the greatest coach ever with the most, you know, if they call it the Lombardi trophy, and he's won more than Lombardi, then you got to name something after Belichick, but he's going to have that, his history sort of bumping into the way there.
I think he's still going to get it, though. I do. I just think, you know, again, those two, we tend to focus on them in the Boston perspective. They are NFL titans. Maybe the biggest of the bunch.
Yes.
Like in the hierarchy of the Greek gods. Belichick is Zeus, for crying out loud.
Now we're really whipping it out.
Let's go. It's the holidays. Let's just flip it right out there. But he is. That's what he is. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like Brady.
Zeus. Yeah, he's Zeus. Yeah.
He can throw down lightning bolts.
Yeah, he's Hercules.
Oh, I think that would be so much funnier if we didn't sound so awful.
And Brady, the sun god Apollo.
Just us goofing around in the boys' locker room, though. Like, that sounds so rotten. Do we still sound that way? We sound that way right this second?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, Bill's like Zeus.
We can't yell at people for their bad cell phones and then sound like that.
Seriously, though, it sounds like crap.
So this is my last show for 2019. I'm out.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Maz, Murray, Stu, Billy, the whole crew.
Very happy.
Thanks for another great year. I'll see you New Year's Day, or the second anyway. Enjoy the next couple of weeks. As Brady plays it out here with the New England Patriots, I think Jones is standing by. What do we got, Jones?
No Jones. He was on this morning. It's Arcand.
Okay, oh, right. Arcand. Yeah, right.
Hi there. By the way, I hear Brady's moving to Naples. That's where you guys should move. You old, bitchy old guys complaining about millennials again for another whole show. Get some new material, will you?
We only went to it because the phones went down, actually.
Sure.
We only did it a couple segments.
Not because it's an easy target or anything like that. I'm here with Brendan Glasheen. Another millennial, by the way. Some fine millennial workers here at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who? Yeah.
Brendan Glasheen.
Who?
How do you spell that?
Brendan, you want to jump on? Tell him to introduce yourself
to
the fellas here?
He's a Syracuse guy that I actually like a lot.
Wow. Oh, boy.
How's his tech?
Brendan, say hi.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, my God.
Another kid.
How's your tech, Brendan?
Oh, you're all perky, aren't you?
What's your craft?
Maz. Glasheen.
Glasheen.
All right, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I like Maserati better.
What do you guys got?
We got about a half hour before Bruins and the Islanders tonight. The team's all beat up. We're going to talk about these injuries and a little bit about the final curtain call here for Tom Brady, similar to what you guys were going on about, too.
Okay, very good. That's coming your way next.
See that? First he marks us, then he steals the idea.
Exactly. Well,
that's right.
Story of our life. Well, that's that. Here comes an update. 90 seconds, no commercials. Then you get Arcand and
Glashine.
Glashine. Okay, that's coming your way. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.